We're up to page 524. Page 524 is the Siman Shin Tzadi Zayin Vav. Shin Tzadi Zayin Vav. Shor Shel Patam Kiragli Mish Le Kochoy Le Shachtoy Biyom Tov. Now, these are, we're going to some of the halachas are very, but some of the principles are important. The basic idea is, when it comes to Tchum Shabbos, not only is a person not allowed to walk more than 2,000 amos, his property is not allowed to travel more than 2,000 amos. What happens if a person has an animal? The animal is part of a person's property. It's restricted to his limitations. He may not walk more than 2,000 amos. His animals may not walk more than 2,000 amos. But let's say you give your animal over to a shepherd to take care of. Then the animal is out of his domain. It becomes an extension of the shepherd. And the animal can travel the same distance as the shepherd. So if the shepherd and the owner live 1,000 amos apart, so there's going to be obviously a difference of 1,000 amos in where the animal can go, because you can go 2,000 amos in any direction where you are, and your shepherd lives 1,000 amos away, has a completely different 2,000 amos in his direction. The animal is part that who's been given over to the shepherd, follows the distance, the tchum of the shepherd. And that's when it comes to a shepherd. Let's say you give the animal not to a shepherd, but to a person that's basically a shochet. The person shor shel patam kiragli mish lekochay leshachto biyom. The person patam is a person that fattens an animal and he sells like a butcher. Basically, it's a butcher, and the animal already has been ordered, has been purchased. So before Yom Tov, people put in their orders. There's a big family, and in those days, I heard someone say this: they had walking refrigerators. What's a walking refrigerator? There was no refrigeration. How do you keep meat fresh? You keep the animal alive. Because if you slaughter the animal today, by tomorrow, it's worthless. Because it's, I don't know, one day exactly, but how long can you keep meat fresh when you don't have refrigeration? So you have walking refrigerators. Walking refrigerators means the animal walks around until the very last minute. So on Shabbos, you have no choice. You're not allowed to do shechita on Shabbos. But Yom Tov, you don't have to. You can slaughter the animal on Yom Tov itself. So Yom Tov, we learned last week that Yom Tov, the laws of Tchum apply to Yom Tov as they apply to Shabbos, which is a chiddush, because on Shabbos you're allowed to carry. If you're allowed to carry on Shabbos, many people relate, they connect the laws of carrying to the laws of Tchum. Tchum is, you're not carrying, Tchum, you're walking. But you restrict how far you can walk. What's the reason why many people like to connect the two together? Because it comes from the same pasuk. Al yetzei ish min mekoymai bayom hashvi'i. That is the source for the halacha, one of the halachas of the haitzah. You're not allowed to carry. And if it's from that very same pasuk, which we learn, you're not allowed to walk more than 2,000 amos. So if that's the case, you would say it's just like on Shabbos, there is no restriction of carrying, there is no restriction of walking. You can walk miles, you can walk the whole world if you want on Yom Tov. So that we discussed that last week. No, the bottom line is, after everything is said and done, it's true, you have, it's a nice pillable, you can make a nice, give a nice long shear and argue that it should be mutter, but the halacha, the bottom line is, the halacha is that it is forbidden, according to some, it's even deraisa, some is derabban, but you're not allowed. Okay, so it's awesome. Now it's Yom Tov, and you are a butcher, and one of your customers has put in an order. It could be he paid it. I don't know the details exactly. Maybe we'll see Mishnah Berurah in a moment. I'm not too well prepared. But basically, you have a customer, and the customer has said, there's an arrangement that the customer is going to get this animal. The butcher lives here. The customer lives there. 1,000 amos away from you, and the animal is in your shop, because only the butcher knows how to do a kosher shechita and how to salt it and to check the lungs. Only he is skilled in preparing the animal for consumption. Fine, so he shechs it and he gives it to his customer. The customer comes after davening is over, all dressed in this big day Yom Tov, holding his little vineshuk to pick up in the butcher store the meat, the rib steak, to take it home to eat. So the question is, how far can he take? What is the tchum of the rib steak? Does it get the tchum of the butcher, which is one set of a different GPS,
right?
A different GPS for the butcher, and there's a custom GPS for Shabbos GPS tells you exactly how far you can go for the customer. So it says here in the Mechaber.
If the Balabas Rishov made a Erev Tchumen.
Oh, the Erev Tchumen is different, of course. Then the Erev Tchumen is 100%. Then, well, let's first define whose Tchum the animal, the meat falls under. After we know under whose Tchum the animal falls under, then we will figure out the proper Tchum. So it says here, Shor Shol Patam, Kiragli Mish Lekocha Leshachatoi Biyomtev. The Shor V'Patam has the same Tchum as the buyer. Mish Lekocha Leshachatoi, the customer. The customer is always right. He is the one since he bought it, he wins. Let's see over here right away in the Mishnah Berurah. There are two Mishnah Berurahs, Yudalid and Tesvav. Yudal Shol Patam, Shem Fatim Shlom Lemkar. He fattens animals to his to the butcher. Correct the Mishalach Lashachto. Hainu Shafilu Imhumi Iracheres Subolakan Ali the Erev Mailichoy Lemakaymoy. The Atam Shederech Shor Kizel Liknoy Segan Mayoro Sacheros Bibnei Shumifutam. It's the Berach for people to purchase these animals. The Das Baolov May Esmo Hoyo Gam Alehem. Even though it's true that the right now when Yom Tov begins, the animal is in the possession of the butcher, and I don't know who's going to buy it. I don't really know who's going to. I have customers, clients, but every animal, it's not set who gets which animal. I have a whole collection of animals, and depending who comes, I told you really butcher, it's not really butcher, it could be the owner himself, the one who buys himself as a shliva. But the animals are being prepared, they're being prepared. Same idea. They're being prepared here in this store, they're being fattened, and tomorrow my clients are going to come, and one will take this, one will take that. First come, first serve. So we're saying in Chiddush that it's Allah Asa, Breira. Whoever will come tomorrow after davening and take this animal, from right now, Erev Yom Tov, I want it already to be his. And if it's already his from right now, that means it gets the tchum of the person who's going to buy it tomorrow. So it's already predetermined in advance through the principle of Breiron. That is what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, that the das be'olav me esmol hoya, the one who currently has it in his possession, his intent was, gam aleim lehakima, that it should be established, berishus mi sheyikochenu, in the possession of the person that will ultimately buy it the next day. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Let's go further. Let's go. It's the same halacha vav. It's the second line. The last three words of the second line. V'chein im shechatoi ba'olav biyamtov mochar b'saro. Another example. Let's say the ba'olav, they slaughter it. I think this is the case that I told you. And then mochar and it sells the meat. Kol echad me'aloichem moylich menasel l'makom shuhal. Exactly what I told you. This is what I was referring to. I got mixed up. This is what I remember when I prepared last week. This halacha, this part of the halacha, that if you're the butcher and you slaughter it and you have in your possession all the different pieces of meat, and after davening and yom, the people come to pick up the meat to take home to eat, what tchum does it have? It has a tchum of the buyer, because this was the intent of the butcher who has the meat before yom began, that they should have the right to take it wherever they want to go. It was the intent of the butcher, whoever will come tomorrow and take this meat, it will be his from right now, and they will be able to take it wherever they need to go. So here he says something not like I told. I made a mistake. I told you Breira. I made a mistake. Tos. Dvarim shamati lechem tos hem biyati. Here the Mishnah Berurah says the correct shot. It's a very chiddush. Who says this? Tezayin the Rambam. This is the Rambam. You can't hook on the Rambam. V'kosav kein k'dei shlo tikshem esev yudi. The Shah Tzion. What does he say? V'yesh oim oid. Let me just see, maybe quote what I just said from the Breira. Let me just see, before I tell you what it says here. No, it only does that. But what is the idea? There's a new halacha. We'll get to it a little later on. That if there's a bar shell hefker lying in the street, and people, it's yomtiv, so there's no problem of carrying, and different people come to fill up their buckets, to take home, and everyone has a different Eruv. Everyone has a different location. So whoever comes can take the water to wherever they want. How could that possibly be? When the day is over, some of the water from this pit has traveled 2,000, has traveled 4,000 amos to the left, because there's a person that lives exactly 1,999 amos to the left of the bar. So the bar is within the last am of his tchum. So he comes to the bar, he fills up his bucket, and he goes back home, and then he goes 2,000 amos in the other direction. So where did the water end up? The water in the bar has ended up 4,000 amos away. Because the person who filled up, and he was in the center, and the bar was 1,999 from where he was positioned. He's allowed to go take it, and the other, he takes it 2,000 amos from where I am. I can go 2,000 amos in each direction, and I'll take another 2,000 amos in the other direction for a total of 4,000 amos. And then there's another guy that lives over here. He's also on the right side, and he's also 1,999 amos away from the bar to the right. And he fills up water from the bar, and he takes it almost 4,000 amos, 3,999 to the right. So it comes out that the water from this one bar has, part of the water has gone 4,000 amos to the left, 4,000 amos to the right. It spans 8,000 amos. Wow, how are you allowed to do that? You now let it spin more than 4,000 amos. You've spanned 8,000 amos. How could that possibly be? Tchum Shabbos, 2,000 amos, and there's no Erev Tchumen. The answer is, the bar, the water is Hefker. And the rule is, something which is hefker does not, this is a principle in the laws of tchumen, does not establish a tchum. And it gets, if someone is koine mi hefker on Shabbos, which is not so simple, problematic, because you're not allowed to make kinyonim on Shabbos. I think we once discussed in the Daf Yomi section, that hefker is different. You're not allowed to make a kinyon, you give over. When you do hefker, very good, remember, the hefker, there's no das acheres makne. But so on Shabbos, according to many, you're allowed to be koine mi hefker on Shabbos. So if you koine mi hefker on Shabbos, so what's going on? So you go everyone. So that's why there is no problem. There is no problem of tchum, object which has no hefker, which hefker has no tchum. And when each one of the two acquire, it now takes on a tchum for the very first time. So that's for the laws of. That's the laws of bar. So how does it apply over here to this? In this case, it's not hefker. That's the chiddush. That's the longest the chiddush of the Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah is coming from the Rambam. Is that even though it's not hefker, if you go and you rob the butcher shop, they'll put you in jail because it's not hefker. But naseh kehefker, with regard to the halacha of a ruvei tchumen, since the butcher knows tomorrow after davening the customers are going to come to take the piece of meat, he's going to shecht it tomorrow morning. He's going to daven vasikin, the butcher, and he's going to shecht it, and he's going to salt it, and it'll be ready to go, ready to take home for the people who daven 9 o'clock. They'll come pick it up. How could it be? But there are people that live on the left, people that live on the right, and they have different tchumen, and therefore the meat's going to go past my tchum. Naseh kehefker. It's just like the case of the mayim. That's the principle of the Mishnah Berurah.
And he also brings the Ashar Tzion.
Yeah.
The Yesharmim.
So what does he say, the Yesharmim?
The Kiruv Bezeh Mishum Tekasa Teva. About like him, Mishum
Simas Yomtev. Okay, so that's part of the lumnus. That's why we need, it's a chiddush, because it's not really hefker.
Yeah.
It's not really hefker. You go to jail for stealing. But why? We're going to treat it as if it's hefker, because we want simchas yamta for the people, and for the butcher needs to make parnasa. So we're going to do it. But we need at least something to work with. We can't make up a halacha out of thin air. If we don't have this principle of the bar of hefker, then simchas yamtiv and the parnos of the shoychet is not going to be able to solve the problem. But being that we have a principle called hefker, and hefker there is no tchum das, so now when we have simchas yamtiv for the people and we have the parnos of the shoychet, we're able to find the solution. Okay, let's go to the next halacha zayin. Shor shel roye kiragla an shel oisachir, the shor of a shepherd. Shor of a shepherd has the same tchum of the people that see. Let's see yidches. Yudches alpayim l'chol ruach v'afilu v'erev haroya hazel l'tzad echad einem akiv aleim melohoy lich alpayim l'ruach ha'acher shlo ir de mi'esmol ikin b'rushus l'tishogim l'kach mimenu the people. Wait, one more time. Correct. Alpayim l'chol ruach of the people of the city. The shor shel roya, the ox of the shepherd. Kiragle anshe that the shepherds it's not his. The animal does not belong to the shepherd. He is just a worker. Therefore, his private tchum does not have an effect on the animals. The animals can go as far as they want. Let's just see the Mishnah Berurah. Kiragli anshe hoyir alpaim luchol ruach of 2,000 amos of each corner of the city, each side of the city. Da'afilu meir v'haroya hazel tzad echad. Even if the shepherd has a different tchum, eino yima'akev aleihem, it's not a problem. He's not going to be a problem for the people of the city. In other words, if someone in the city gives it to the shepherd on Shabbos, eino yima'akev aleihem luchol alpaim luruach ha'acher shelo yer dimei esmol. Oikem bereshusom lerefi shiragilim likach mimenu, because they give it to him. So this is discussing a different halacha. This is discussing halacha. We have to get clear what's going on over here. This is not to be confused with the halacha we had before. Here the animal belongs to the shepherd, and he's selling it to the people of the city. It's the same principle to shecht and to eat. See, this gets a little bit. This city. Let's get, because this is a contradiction. What we said before. See, what we learned before last week is where the people of the city have given the animal to the shepherd for the long term to fatten the animal. People of the city, they have animals and they're shepherds, and the shepherds take the animal to pasture. The animal is not yet ready for slaughter. The animal has to develop like a chicken. You know how long a chicken stays in the incubator in the farm in Jewish in the empire? 7 weeks. So you have to grow a chicken. It doesn't take 7 weeks. Non-kosher chickens, how long are they? There's a very big difference between non-kosher chickens and kosher chickens. Purdue, and I don't know all the names. I once got a course in chickens. So non-kosher chickens develop for 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, you're losing money. Just a waste of money to feed. It doesn't grow anymore after 6 weeks. So what are you feeding it? Every day you're going to feed it. You're dealing with thousands of chickens in the country. It's a waste of time, a waste of money, resources. So everything is down to a spediuk, down even to the hour of when it's no longer profitable to feed the chicken and to die ready to send it off to the slaughter. They don't slaughter it. They stun gun it. So after 6 weeks, it's over. So they would do that with kosher chickens. I mean, no, we'll do the kosher, not kosher chicken. But the problem is they find two problems. If you only wait 6 weeks, the skin is still too thin. So being the skin is too thin, you have to remove the feathers. On a chicken, you can't sell a chicken in the market with feathers. Why not? Doesn't look nice. Nothing more than that. So you got to get rid of the feathers. So Purdue, they're very easy. It's easy as part, they burn the feathers. They put it in a machine, and there's fire, a blowtorch, and the feathers burn off 1, 2, 3, no problem. They used to do that years ago for the kosher birds. And it's mutter. People got all nervous because it says Shulchan Aruch that if you do tzli before you do malicha, then you can no longer do malicha. So the bird is treif. If you apply fire to a bird and it gets hot before you salt it, the salt no longer will be effective in extracting the blood. Now that's not called sleep. Just plotting fire to burn off feathers in 10 seconds is not in the category of sleep, which would prevent the malicha from being a good malicha. And that's what it used to be for many years, until people came along and said, you know, we live achshadari, we live in a very good generation, we're very religious, and we machmer, so we're not going to burn the feathers, because we don't want there to be fire on the bird before you do sleep. Okay, so how are you going to get off the feathers? Very complicated, very difficult problem to get off the feathers. Now I'm going to pluck the feathers off. You can't do that to a billion birds a day.
So, hot water.
Hot water, definitely not.
Water,
right. So what are you going to do? So they have invented a machine called the rubber finger machine. You have to see it. It's deafening. You have to wear these heavy-duty goggles like those people go in the streets. It's deafening. And they put the birds through these machines and the rubber fingers and it spins against the the bird, and these rubber fingers, they pluck, it somehow plucks off the feathers. Doesn't do as good a job as a Purdue chicken. A Purdue chicken, if you ever look, you have to look, there's no trace of a feather. Kosher birds, sometimes you see the shirashim, you do see where the feathers used to be, because the rubber fingers only can do that good of a job. Here's the problem. Problem is that the skin is so thin, the rubber finger, not only does it take off the feathers, it takes off the skin also. Uh-huh. Problem. So what are you going to do? Two solutions. Number one, if you let the bird live another week, it gets a thick skin. It's a Musar Haskell for life. The older you get, the older you get, you get a thicker skin, and the rubber fingers don't take the feathers, not the skin. Number two, this is why you're paying double for a kosher bird over a Purdue bird. Check the price online, how much it costs. How much it costs per pound for non-kosher and for kosher? You'll be shocked. How much you're overpaying?
Is that the reason?
There are many kashrus and sanitary reasons. I mean, everything, you know, it costs a little more. But there's always, once you're charging more, you charge a little. You charge more for yourself. You know, a little bit for yourself more so. But the other thing they do is they give it a special feed, scientifically enhanced. The chemists in the lab, they know exactly what to feed it, which enzymes, in order to cause the skin hormones. They give it hormones, and a hormone, they give it a special feed in order to develop a thicker skin. So that's one reason why it's the main reason, that's really not the main reason why we have 7-week birds, not 6 weeks, is because they found that if you slaughter a 6-week bird, there are the number of shalos, of trefos, is significantly higher. And every bird is inspected. Every bird, you know, you have to go to the factory. It's fascinating to see what goes on. It's just, you'll never look at a chicken the same after you spend, it takes 4 hours to get there. You have to go to Pennsylvania. It takes 4 hours to get there. Can you imagine it got in your mind to get there? And then you're there, they give you a wonderful tour. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. But it's a whole day thing from Ashmeres HaBoker till 10 o'clock at night. And you come back, it takes 4 hours to get back. It's a wonderful experience, once in your life. And then, they inspect, FDA inspects. You see the FDA inspectors, they sit there, and they just sit there. They sit there, whole collection of them, wearing uniforms. And the birds go by. The birds fly by. They sit.
Curious yellow, Monroe. You don't have to go so far. They have new
facilities. New facilities. I went to Empire, Pennsylvania. The facility is as big as the whole Flatbush. So you can't even imagine they can have such a big building. You can build such a big building. Humongous. The size of I don't know how many football fields. Like, there's no end.
Where is it?
In Pennsylvania.
Mifflintown.
So the FDA sits there, the shuckle.
That's why the birds go.
Keep on going, and they just look.
Kosher.
I don't know what they do. They have sense. They do things. I don't know. They do look at the birds. They look for any abnormalities. They look at abnormalities. No, they do. I know everything is down to a sign. It's very kosher. Baruch Hashem. We're very fortunate. Everything is very kosher. They put all the rabbanim out of business. Rabbanim don't have to pass it. They don't have to think about it. Okay, so then after it gets to the FDA, they have tough inspections, and they throw in the garbage a lot of stuff. Then it comes to the mashkichim. Mashkichim, they work very hard. They really do. Every single bird, they roll their hands down the entire intestines from top to bottom. And if they feel any pebble, the biggest problem is pebbles. Why are they problem pebbles? Because the law is, would you believe this? The law in the United States is you're not allowed to feed a bird 24 hours prior to slaughter. So this, I know what that means for a human being not to eat for 24 hours. We know what that means. Torture. You know what it means? Do you know what it means for a bird not to eat for 24 hours? You know how much tsar bali chayim that is? But that's the way it is. Because, why? Because if they would let the birds eat before slaughter, their kishkas would be filled with bacteria because they digest the food. And part of the digestive process is it creates bacteria, which is poisonous, toxinous for human beings. So even though we don't eat that stuff is the kishkas go in the garbage, but it's hanging around, it's all over the place, and it's the cause of a lot of problems. So the law is, it's unbelievable how halacha deals with this. We torture the birds. They don't eat for 24 hours. It's incredible. I don't know about drinking, but they do give them to drink 24 hours before they fatten. They force feed them for 7 weeks, and then a tinus before they go al kiddush Hashem. It's no joke. So what happens? The birds are in the crates. It's horrible. They know what's happening. It's very somber. It's horrible. They're in crates. They're all going for the slaughter. And they know. You watch them.
They know.
They know. There's no question about it. On their level, they know. There's no question. You're walking into the mamash, the Malcha Mavis house. It's really scary. It's really scary. But they're very hungry. They're desperate. What do? What do the birds do when they're starving? They eat each other. They literally eat each other. They eat and peck away at the feathers of their neighbor.
That's good.
Or if they can find a pebble, this is Gan Eden. They can find a pebble, it's like you gave them a steak. So they look for pebbles, and they eat pebbles. And what happens to these pebbles? It goes down to the stomach and makes holes. Makes a hole, treif. He has a hole in the stomach. This is aleph beis in Masechta Chulin. You have a hole in the stomach in the intestines. Intestines, treif. So they, because of this problem, which is made because of starvation, which is only because of we don't want to get infected with bacteria in their stomach, they're starved. They get very hungry. Every single bird has to be checked. The intestines have to be checked. The fingers run down the intestines. They're very long. Mashkiach. There's a machine. You gotta see this. You wouldn't believe this.
Right before they get shechted.
After Shechita. No, Shechita's first. Shechita.
So
the, they do Shechita. And then they hang them up.
But if, mass
production. What?
If they had Shechita ready.
Yeah.
So if there's a pebble without a hole, that's not a problem.
No, because they ate the pebble before they had Shechita.
No, they
ate the pebble before, and then they already did, while they're waiting there on the assembly line, they already have a hole in their stomach. There's already a hole in the intestines because of the pebble. Then there, but you know, we don't know that. You don't know that. Then the Shechita is done. You do Shechita. Then they hang it up. After the Shechita, they have three real tough guys. They work with each Shechit. The Shechit does the Shechita, and there's a whole system how they hold it. For the Shechit, the Shechit hold it, and the Shechit, boom, 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 just non-stop. You can do, I don't know, they do in a minute.
Yeah.
There's a whole system, do non-stop, and the guy hangs it up.
Takes the blood out.
The blood, there's very little blood. Bird has very little blood.
No, but their blood turn it out.
While it's on the machine, on the thing, the blood drips out. There's not that much blood. The birds they do shechita, and the blood rarely gushes out. And within a second, the blood is already finished. And the residual blood drips out as they hang it up, and it goes down. There's a lot of blood there. Turkeys have a lot more blood. Animals, they gush with blood. And then they go and they send it off on them. And then, this, you got to see this, how the machine plucks it open. There's a special machine plucks it open, and it does something to the intestines, and the intestines roll out. The intestines are like, I don't know, 15 feet? A bird, a little teeny bird. You would never imagine. The intestines are like 15 feet. I don't know, 15? Yeah, come on. 10 feet, 15 feet. Small. I don't remember exactly. What's up? And they run it down, all the way down, all the way down. How do we get into this conversation here? How do we get into this conversation? I forgot. What? The animals, what does the intestines
of animals
for?
They don't throw them in the garbage. They sell to
guy. Okay, so here we have the case of the tchum of the animal. So here's not to confuse the point. In the previous halachos, we were discussing when they were fat, like in the seven bird. All right, so that's how we got this. Just to finish up. Why do kosher birds are fed for another week? Because they have discovered when they do the inspection, when the boitkin. Mashkichim run their fingers down and they look at the lungs. They do a lot of different things, different inspections. The number of problems that they find in the birds is very, very high on a 6-week-old bird. When you let the bird live for one more week and you let it eat, even though it's not getting fatter and it's diminishing returns, the bird all of the trefos problems straighten themselves out. And the number of problems, the number of halachic problems that are discovered in the bird are significantly less. So that's why you're paying double for a kosher bird, because in addition to the whole cost of the hashkacha, you're also paying for the bird to live one more week. Because when it's one more week, it will be a healthy bird. And if it's a healthy bird, there are much less trefus problems. And that's how the industries have. But Purdue, or non-kosher birds, they are only industry standard 6 weeks, 1 week less. Because they don't care for trefus. They just care about money. And money, you want to optimize profits and minimize expenses. 6 weeks, more than enough. Halacha, you have to deal with trefus. You gotta give the bird a chance. Okay, now what I want to come over here. Here we're dealing with two different types of shepherds. Let's make it clear.
The second reason.
Right out of time.
The second reason you gave was 7 weeks for the pebble.
Yeah.
That could have occurred 7 weeks after. 6 weeks. Doesn't matter.
That's correct. That's irrelevant. I'll just give you an example of things that they inspect for. But they inspect when they run their hands down and they find other problems. I don't know the details. There are many other issues that go into trefus in a bird which are problems. In Eretz Yisrael, you know it's much worse. In Eretz Yisrael, you know, the environment, it's all a matter of environment, I don't know how they raise birds, but there they have the birds there. It's a much tougher existence for a bird in Eretz Yisrael, and they have a lot more problems. They have a lot more shyness. Like I think the lungs, for example, in America they don't check the lungs. Teeny little lungs. You got to see the lungs. The flois habore of a chicken. Teeny little lungs. In the United States, the mashkichim do not check the lungs. Because it's kemat, and there's never a problem with the lung. So you go basarai, you don't have to do it. In Eretz Yisrael, for some reason, I'm sure they can tell you scientifically why it's so, the lungs of the birds have problems due to the environment. And every single lung has to be checked. So a lot of work. The chicken in Eretz Yisrael is expensive. It's not so cheap. Because it's a different system. Okay, but the point I want to make over here, let's just finish up very quickly. The point I want to make over here is there are two types of shepherds. There's a steer and a mechaber. There's a shepherd that the animal takes on the tchum of the shepherd. And in this halach, it says that the animal doesn't take the tchum of the shepherd, it's taking the tchum of the people of the city. So what's going on? How do you answer this contradiction? Simple contradiction. The answer is, in the beginning of this sim, we're dealing with a situation where you're giving your... The people of the city are giving their animals to the shepherds long term to fatten, to develop. Here's my animal, fatten it up. I'm giving it to you for 3 months. I'll see you in 3 months. So in that situation, the animal takes on the tchum of the shepherd. Here we're dealing with a shepherd that owns the animals. And the shepherd is selling the finished product to the buyer. So it's Yomtif, and the shepherd here has a whole collection of animals running around in his pen, and now people of the city are coming on Yomtif to buy the living animal from the shepherd. See, first we had a tamach, now we have a shepherd. It's the same with the tamach and the shepherd, the same exact thing. So before Yomtif, the shepherd says, listen, I'm in the business. Whoever comes and buys this animal for me tomorrow, after davening, gezunta, hey, take the animal, it should be your animal, and let it remain in your tchum for the remainder of...
Need to make an agreement before Yom Tov or not?
They don't. They don't need to make an agreement because it's assumed. It's the same principle we said before. It's like Hefka. It's the same principle we said before. But since the shepherd wants to sell out his stock, so it's a given. The moment that before Yom Tov he makes a stipulation, whoever will come and buy my animal should.
But if the Yantif, each buyer is a different chum, they all live different places.
Exactly, that's what it says here in the Mechaber, that when it comes to the shepherd, the shepherd, when Yantif begins, before Yantif begins, it's as if the shepherd is saying that my animals are Hefker, and whoever tomorrow will come and purchase my animal, gives them to, hey, take it, it should be yours, and it should follow your tchum. Okay, that's just like the pattern. That's all we're saying over here in Zalocha. So we're up to Ches. What?
That here by the Roya, it's like a chum, it's limiting
the amount of distance you could take the behemoth.
For the Anshe'ir.
Anshe'ir.
Right, of course, because they're the only potential customers, yeah. People of the city. If someone comes from a different town, I never had a havamina that you from the neighboring city would come and buy my animal. I never thought that. So no, only within a reasonable expectation.
Yeah.
Okay, so up to Ches, we'll stop here. You don't